Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you on board as we face the issues. We look forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue each and every day. The format of our broadcast is based on a Q&A scenario where you can ask the questions, we can provide the answers, or vice versa. We always look forward to your participation. Let me remind you, lest I get involved in forget it, and I'm prone to do that occasionally, the telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Your telephone call goes directly through to the studios, right to our microphone, so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue of the day. We're talking about economic terrorism. I pause for a moment for that to sink in. Economic terrorism. I'm looking at a headline that says, the U.S. government is guilty of domestic bioterrorism, but who will bring the criminals to justice? Ladies and gentlemen, that's a question about the bioterrorism, the gain-of-function research. But I can contend that the federal government is guilty also of economic terrorism. Do you realize the bank failures, the bank collapses that we see taking place today in America are all as a result of the federal government's policies, procedures, rules, and regulations? It's all promulgated by the federal government. So let's just do some fast, quick analysis and assumptions. They create the crisis, they create the calamity, and then all of a sudden they come in with a solution to the calamity. Or they start out with, as in March of last year, when Joe Biden issued executive order for the creation of the digital currency. How do you think the digital currency can come into play and be, quote, successful from the federal government's position, unless we have a collapsed banking system that puts the banking system in the total dominating control of the federal government, that they can then issue the digital currency? Why, it doesn't take a genius to analyze and realize what is happening. It has been promulgated and carried out by the federal government, and now that will cause the federal government to be able to say, July, August of this year, when we're supposed to have the digital currency, they should be able to say, we're protecting your money. We're having to do this because those bad, bad banks are failing and wiping out and threatening the loss of your money. But we're the big boys. We're the big brother. We're going to protect your dollars so that to make sure that you have currency. But it's not greenbacks anymore. It's not guaranteed by anything anymore. There's not any silver on stock and in the stockpile for your money. We left the silver certificate background years ago. There's not one living thing, ladies and gentlemen, that supports the fiat money that we call greenbacks today. And then it will go to the digital currency, and it will absolutely control, track, and trace every human being in America. That's what we're talking about today. We're going to be discussing this today as we think on the subject of economic terrorism. But ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you that as we face issues on this broadcast each day, we do so from the central biblicist standpoint. It is from the central biblicist worldview. And may I say to you, that simply means that everything we see happening, we look at the scripture and say, what did God say about this? What does God's word teach us about this? Is there anything in the Bible that will tell us what is happening? And I can say to you, yes, indeed. Everything, if it is political, social, economic, if it is biblical, theological, doctrinal, it is all found in the word of God. God created the home, he created government, he created the church, and in that order. And everything that affects those three things, and we discuss them, are central biblicist issues. So when we face issues based on the Word of God, I go back to the Scripture. John 8:31-32, Jesus speaking to his disciples, he said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed. You shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." And further in John 17:17, the Lord Jesus says, "Thy word is truth." And then, ladies and gentlemen, in Psalms 117:2, the Scripture says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." And may I say to you, there's no greater evidence of, no greater bastion of truth than that which is found in the Word of God. But we're in a society today where most people reject the truth. In fact, let me just do a little footnote to that. The socialist Marxist media is today an arm in the hands of the federal government. Big tech, social media, are all arms of the federal government. And as such, ladies and gentlemen, you will not get the truth from any of those outlets at all. They're simply going to give you disinformation and misinformation, and when we give correct information, it's considered disinformation and misinformation, only to be sequestered or censored by the arm of federal government, big tech, and social media. That's where we are today. It goes back to the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we're in that position today where truth is denied, truth is rejected, truth is sequestered, and truth is not looked at as being anything to be honorable. In fact, when we go back to what is happening today with the banking implosion, there's a purpose behind it. There's a rationale behind it. There is a governing body that's behind it. We'll talk about that today. But when we go back to that aspect of it, ladies and gentlemen, we need to understand that the big, big, big picture needs to be recognized, and that is that the media today is not saying they had a 24-hour, 36-hour cycle about the banking problem, but have you heard anything else on the media about the banking implosions? And it's not over. The media would have you to believe that there were three or four banks that had an implosion, three or four banks that were closed, and it's all over with. The government has it under control, and that's the end of it. Ladies and gentlemen, there's about another 20, 25 banks in America that's teetering on the verge of internal collapse and a total loss of funds as we speak. But that's truth, and truth is not listened to. Truth is not adhered to. In fact, it was the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint that had a headline recently. Jim DeMint warns that America's decline is linked to the death of truth. And ladies and gentlemen, we need to be very, very careful who we listen to, what we listen to. You can't find truth on the Communist Network News. You'll not find truth on the ABC, NBC, CBS News. You know, ABC, back a number of years ago, in fact, it was back in the 60s, it was termed to be always bashing Christians, ABC. It is amazing to me that that's not ceased. That's still the case in the socialist Marxist media today. In fact, it has, I believe, is part of the problem resulting in that media being, and those media being run by those that are in the younger age group. The most recent survey says that 55% of the millennials, that's 18 to 35-year-old age group, says each person determines their own version of truth. So if there's no centrality of truth, there's no basis for truth, anything that's done is viewed as truth. It goes back to the book of Judges in the Bible. Every man's doing that which is right in his own eyes. We see that taking place today. I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. He said, "Faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death." And I challenge us each and every day to love the truth, to listen to the truth, seek the truth, learn the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth each and every day. And we're getting into that area, that time frame, that era, when if we stand on the truth, we're going to find laughter and mocking. We're going to find the denigration and the undermining of all that we do and say. We saw that recently in the most recent election here in our city, where truth was absolutely caught in the quagmire of deceit and demonic lies. But ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands LeConda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about backup power equipment. The knowledgeable staff of Tools for Time can answer your question about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road, right at the intersection of I-295 and Old St. Augustine Road. There's a benchmark 165-foot flagpole with the U.S. flag Old Glory flowing 24/7. Ladies and gentlemen, at the base of that flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, there's some good news. Tools for Time is now hiring all positions: house and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly oriented environment. Tools for Time is closed on Sunday, allowing all of the staff of Tools for Time to worship in the house of God with the family of God, as God's word ordained it to be so. Ladies and gentlemen, drop by Tools for Time. Make an application for employment. Wait for an interview. See what God does, placing you in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I've got a few things, just a brief few things as a pre-monologue, pre-introduction to our broadcast today, and then we'll start taking our callers. But we're talking about economic terrorism. Ladies and gentlemen, let me just give you the headline news of about 6 or 8 or 10 headlines. I've got dozens of those headlines laid out here before me, but I'm going to just give you the headlines of just a few. The Credit Suisse shares crash to record low after emergency takeover of the bank. Credit Suisse, ladies and gentlemen, was the most prestigious, renowned, most powerful banking institution in all of Europe. It was viewed by the world marketplace as the preeminent bank. But ladies and gentlemen, it has just imploded. It was propped up by several billion dollars, but the one that is the head, if you please, the overarching control, the parent of Swiss Bank, just filed bankruptcy. Another headline: Silicon Valley Bank's parent company files for Chapter 11 bankruptcy protection. Another headline: Swiss banking giant U.S. UBS announces a deal to buy out Credit Suisse for $3.2 billion in an emergency rescue. Another headline: The World Economic Forum pushes for the end of cash and the banking crisis amid the banking crisis. We'll talk about that in this broadcast today. The World Economic Forum is pushing to collapse the banks, so there'll be a cashless society. You might ask the question, why would the World Economic Forum want a cashless society? What's the benefit of a cashless society from the standpoint? How does it benefit the consumer? How does it benefit those that are establishing a global one world order and what is called the global reset? There's two different things there, ladies and gentlemen. One does not correspond with or hold hands with the other. Another headline: banking crisis worsens. Swiss Bank is the first of the too big to fail banks to be bailed out as the Saudis withdraw their support. Another headline: investor Carl Icahn issues grim warning on the U.S. economy. Another headline: bank failures are simply the tip of the iceberg under the Biden policy economist warn. End quote. We're going to look at this in a little more detail today. But the trickle down of where we're going is these banks must collapse. They must be taken out. The federal government is doing it through the Federal Reserve. By the way, the Federal Reserve is not a branch of the federal government. It is a privately owned, independently owned organization to control the finances in America, set up in 1933 to try to prevent any further bank collapses, stock market collapses that caused the Great Depression in 1929, 30, 31, 32, and 33. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about economic terrorism. We have terrorism today where the Department of Justice and the FBI considers a parent that goes before the school board with questions to be a domestic terrorist. If you challenge the Biden administration, you're a domestic terrorist. If you question the COVID vaccination and its death jab, you're giving disinformation, misinformation, and that's called domestic terrorism. If you question the election of 2020 and 2022, ladies and gentlemen, that's domestic terrorism. We're talking about today economic terrorism, and I think the two go hand in hand as far as the cause and effect. We're going to talk about that today. I believe we have Kenneth on the line. Kenneth, go over the question or comment, please.
Yes, sir. I just wanted to agree with you on everything you just said, because it is just ridiculous the way Puppy Joe is going. We got to get him out of there quick. But they're not going to do that. They're not going to do Hunter Biden's laptop. I remember when he was a senator, he said if he was caught with a little bit of crack cocaine, you spent, well, I think 5 years in prison. But your son, the Hunter laptop has not been exposed yet. And that's just ridiculous.
Well, the truth of it is, Kenneth, if I could jump in, the truth of it is they've been collecting not millions, but hundreds of millions of dollars through China and Russia via Ukraine. That's the reason right at this very moment the Biden administration is not interested in any settlement, any peace talks, any conclusion of the Ukrainian-Russian war. They're not interested in that because right now we're sending hundreds of billions of dollars of money and materiel and war equipment to Ukraine. There's no tracking, no tracing, no responsibility, no one that is in control. Why do you think that Nancy Pelosi recently had gone to the Ukraine? She went over there to protect her interest and the monetary interest of the Biden family cabal. This is part of the problem that we're seeing today, is that the Biden family cabal is in charge. We're living under a third world banana republic dictatorship in America today, and it's through the Biden administration's executive order March of a year ago that now will bring about the digital currency in July of this year. And this is the reason they're on the fast track to destroy the cryptocurrency and all of the digital currencies, so that when the Biden administration's executive order is brought to full fruition, we will have no greenbacks to count on. Kenneth, let me just ask you a question since you're on the air with us today. The question is this. What if you have only digital currency? That is your cell phone, your iPad, or your PC. That is your personal computer. And that stores all of your money. And if you say the wrong thing, if you vote the wrong way, if you buy a stick of bubble gum from the wrong vendor, or if you drive the wrong direction, or if you question the COVID vaccination, or if you question the election, all they've got to do is press the button, and Kenneth doesn't have any more money. Where do you go? Where do you turn? What do you turn to? What is your source that you can live off of? Do you have a garden in your backyard? Do you have someone that you can barter and trade with? We're on the fast track for going back to the barter and trade system. How would you survive, Kenneth, if you had no money?
Dr. Youngblood, I'm going to tell you something. You're on point, but I'm going to tell you. They are protecting this here puppet. I call him Sleepy Joe puppet. Yes, they're trying to tear down our United States of America.
Yes, they are.
And they're trying to do it on the fast track.
It is on steroids right now.
Yeah, they are.
So, Kenneth, one of the things that I say to all of our listeners, and I say even today, that as Christians, as conservatives, as those that love the Lord, we need not fear. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 says, God has not given us a spirit of fear. And when it comes to trusting him and obeying him and understanding that he's not going to let us go hungry, might mean to have a toe. And in fact, it is not a question in my mind. I believe that the future holds a totally different direction for our nation in relationship to how we eat, how we feed our families, how we communicate, and what we do in connection with each other. Because if there would be a power grid failure, if an EMP were to be set off 35,000 feet above the earth by China, it would shut down everything that we have that's called electronics. And if that is shut down, how are we going to buy, sell, trade, or eat? What are we going to do to travel? And yet many people have not given that consideration. And we're on the fast track for that. Listen, Kenneth, I'm saying this to you as well as to our listening audience. The federal government is in charge of everything that we do in life today. They're in charge of the educational system. They're in charge of the healthcare system. And they're in charge now, more so each and every day, of the monetary system, where they will totally control every move, everything that we say or do in relationship to life and living. I believe that COVID was simply a test run to force us to submit to the federal government.
Yeah, because I remember they were talking about monkeypox. I'm like, monkeypox?
Yeah, that was a trial balloon that they put up to see if we would be willing to sequester and run in panic again. And because that was not the first course of action for the populace, they decided they'd take that off the burner as far as another fear tactic. But, Kenneth, we need to keep looking up. The Lord Jesus is going to call us out of this place very, very soon. It's called the rapture of the church. We need to look up, lift up our heads, for our redemption draweth nigh, Luke 21:28 tells us. Thank you so much for your call. Have a blessed day. Yes, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about the economic terrorism. I believe we're watching the bank failures today, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of the Biden administration and the fast track to destroy the economic foundation of America. I'm looking at an article that says the regulators announced closure of New York's Signature Bank, which held significant crypto stakes. Ladies and gentlemen, the Signature Bank in New York, their major funding source and the major clientele they had was simply the cryptocurrency population and people. This article says U.S. regulators announced they're intervening to close Signature Bank, marking the second bank failure, days apart, the third largest bank failure in U.S. history. The bank said at the time it would be shrinking its $17.79 billion of cryptocurrency deposits by $8 billion to reduce its risk, challenging the cryptocurrency environment nationally. The bank had clients and offices in New York, Connecticut, California, Nevada, North Carolina, had 8 business lines beyond digital assets banking, including commercial real estate. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about that which has been taking place in the past several days, the past 2 or 3 weeks, and yet it seems to have gone silent, gone under the radar with what the goal is and the end plan for the federal government. Here's another article. The government steps in with the plan to protect all deposits at the Silicon Valley Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, do you realize that the SVB Bank, that's Silicon Valley Bank in California, do you realize that the Chinese Communist Party had several businesses under the guise of businesses that had billions of dollars deposited in the Silicon Valley Bank, and yet it's the only bank that the federal government has gone beyond anything that is called the law based on the FDIC, where the FDIC is supposed to simply protect up to $250,000. Some of the depositors at Silicon Valley Bank had deposits up to $389 billion in the bank. And yet now Janet Yellen has said, we're protecting all of the deposits there, making sure that they get 100% of it. Ladies and gentlemen, that guarantees the collapse of the FDIC and the banking institution, as America knows it today, controlled by the federal government. Why is that so? Because the FDIC has about $125 billion, and yet through just one bank, the Silicon Valley Bank, they have gone beyond the $125 billion in reserve for the FDIC. In fact, it will be up into the hundreds of billions of dollars if they have to pay it out or have to pay all of that out. Because, and they say it's not going to come from the taxpayers. No, it's not. It'll come from the levied fees that they'll charge all banks in America. That's the reason then all banking fees that you and I have to pay will go up exponentially in order to pay for that, which Janet Yellen just agreed to pay out for the Silicon Valley Bank. Ladies and gentlemen, it is the economic terrorism is orchestrated by our federal government in order to bring on the Fed coin, and we'll talk about that later in this broadcast. What is the Fed coin? It's electronic currency. How does the Fed coin work? The Fed coin works on the basis that you do not have any coinage, you do not have any greenbacks, you do not have any pocket change, you do not have to go to the bank to make a deposit, you do not have to go to the bank to withdraw anything, you do not have to go to the bank to pay a bill. It's all done from your handheld electronic device. And ladies and gentlemen, in China, that's been instituted since 2014. In China, every dime that's transferred is done electronically, and every person is under the total dominating thumb control of the government in the nation of China, controlling the people. That's where we're headed in America. We're going to talk about it in more detail during the course of this broadcast. We invite your telephone call. We invite your questions, comments, dialogue, and discussion. Perhaps you say, well, how does that work? What's taking place? Explain that a little more to me. Be delighted to do so. That telephone number is 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. That telephone call goes directly through to our studios and right to our microphones so that we can entertain your question, comment, dialogue, and discussion on the issue today. We're talking about economic terrorism. I'm looking at a headline, gigantic headline, financial crisis. Feds tell depositors at failed bank, you'll get all your money. That's Janet Yellen's guarantee of all the funds being paid back, even to the Chinese depositors in that bank. By the way, one of the problems in that bank was, as Kevin O'Leary, one of the wealthiest men in America, billionaire, he said the bank was run by idiots. And he went on to talk about the fact that there, in that bank, there was only one person that had banking training, banking financial background in banking. Everybody else was there because of what they call equity. You were there because you're transvestite. You were there because you're transsexual. You were there because you leaned to the LGBTQ sodomite agenda. You were there because of skin color, not based on whether you could read, write, or calculate. And as a result of that, the bank just imploded because of what it was doing. But ladies and gentlemen, it is orchestrated by the federal government. And we're going to see that more and more. In fact, I'm told, based on the articles that I have in my control and in my repertoire of material and information, there's some 20 additional banks that's teetering on the verge of total implosion today in the American banking market. So ladies and gentlemen, we need to recognize where we're headed and what is taking place. The question is, could we survive if there's a further financial crisis? We could go on and on and on about the financial crisis that's looming in America and, yes, around the world. Ladies and gentlemen, we see the Federal Reserve Chairman Powell, Jay Powell, as he calmly increases the interest rate by 0.25% just the other day. Yet we recognize the main result is more economic terrorism being carried out by the non-suspecting, carried out upon the non-suspecting public today by the federal government. Like lambs being led to slaughter is what we're watching taking place today when it comes to our financial system. The question is, what do you do? How do you? I've had hundreds of people, ladies and gentlemen, ask the question, well, what do I do? How do I plan? What do I do for currency? What do I do for funds? What do I do to protect my family? Ladies and gentlemen, we're going back, and I've said this before, we're going back in the very near future to the barter system. You're a doctor, and I need medicine. I need medical care. I've got a pig in my stall out back, and you need some bacon. So we'll trade doctor's bill for bacon. Ladies and gentlemen, that might sound like we go back to the 15th, 16th, 17th century, and I believe we're on the fast track for that. And I'm not a doom and gloomist, but I'm here to tell you, based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant word of God, we're on the fast track of seeing the eschatological prophetic future coming unfolded right before our eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about economic terrorism, and I want us to understand the need for us to grasp it, to be prepared, especially as Christians, conservatives, and patriots. We need not to face this blindly. We need to know what's happening, how it's happening, and what to do. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take a top of the hour news break for about 1 minute. After the minute's top of the hour news break, we'll be right back as we continue Let's Face the Issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more,